The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled a couple of my past lists from previous episodes from last year. We're going to go ahead and do the top 10 NFL GOATs from the 1980s and the 1990s. Last week, so this week, we are doing the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s. And let me tell you, this list was very difficult for me to whittle down. Some of the guys I had to leave out, I'm like, I couldn't believe I had to leave you out, but you know what? You can't include everybody. And now my top three, easy. Right off the bat, I knew exactly who I was putting at number one, and then I knew who I was putting right behind them at two and three, just because number one, the 80s was dominated by one player and one player alone, and when I get to number one, there are zero arguments of what player dominated the NFL in the 1980s. If you know, you know. And if you have any arguments against it, you are El Stupido, in my opinion. So let's get started with my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, beginning with number 10. I cannot believe I put him at number 10. That's how fucking good this list is. He is so far down. I was like, whoa, this is almost disrespectful, but that's how good the players were in the 80s, and that is Mike Singletary, linebacker of the Chicago Bears. He played for the Bears from 1981 to 1992, and literally no defender dominated the league like this motherfucker did. Now, you could argue for a few different defenders on this Chicago Bears, legendary Chicago Bears defense, but I had to go with Singletary. I mean, nobody dominated the 80s like he did. I mean, they won Super Bowl 20 in 1985, obviously the 85 Bears, one of the most legendary defenses ever, arguably one of the greatest defenses of ever. But listen to his stat, Mike Singletary's stat line alone in 1985. He had 109 tackles, 3 sacks, 1 interception, 3 fumble returns, and 1 forced fumble. The guy was everywhere, in on every single play, pretty much throughout his entire career. He was a 2-time defensive MVP, or a 2-time defensive player of the year in 85 and 88, 7-time first team All-Pro from 84 to 89, straight, and then in 1991. His career stats are 1,488 tackles, 7 interceptions, 12 fumble returns, and 19 sacks on his career. And like I said, nobody dominated defense like this guy. I mean, still to this day, you look at Mike Singletary, and that is just the prototypical linebacker. He was in on every play. He was the Mike. He was the guy you go to on defense who just knows everything, who knows where every play is going to be. And he was perfect to take over for Dick Butkus, too. It's like you go from Dick Butkus to Mike fucking Singletary. And like I said, this Bears defense was so legendary, it was hard for me to just pick one. But yeah, I had to just pick one because this top 10 was so freaking hard to whittle down. And Mike Singletary, number 10. Number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, John Elway, quarterback of the Denver Broncos. He played from 1983 to 1998. So just so you know, spoiler alert, I am almost positive, 99.9% positive, John Elway is going to be on my 1990s GOAT team as well, because honestly, John Elway dominated his entire career. In the 80s, though, he went to 3 Super Bowls. Unfortunately, they lost all 3 of the Super Bowls. But I mean, just to watch John Elway play quarterback, it was just such a beautiful thing to watch. In my opinion, nobody throws a better ball. I could watch John Elway practice throwing a football all fucking day long. Now, in the 80s, he is a 2-time Super Bowl champion, but unfortunately, he didn't win those Super Bowls until the 90s, which is why I'm saying Don't be shocked if we're talking about John Elway again when I go over my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 90s. But in the 80s, he did go to three Super Bowls, lost all three of those Super Bowls, and they were bad losses too. They weren't even really good losses. I mean, not that there's a good loss, but they were just ass whoopings. But in the 80s, though, he was, of course, legendary on a couple. What John Elway is known for is his comebacks. You could put him, I don't know, let's use an example of 98 yards to go with 37 seconds left on the clock. It might have been against a team called the Cleveland Browns in the AFC Championship game. John Elway might have driven them down 98 yards in 37 seconds. It's called The Drive. It's so legendary, that's why it's called The Drive. But yeah, John Elway drove 98 yards, 37 seconds, and ripped the hearts of the Cleveland Browns out on the field. He actually has another legendary comeback as well against the Cleveland Browns, where he rips their heart out in another playoff game. But, you know, that's just what he was known for. He was known for his comebacks. He was known for just ripping people's hearts out. He was just that dude who you could not give any time left on the clock, or else you knew there was a good chance he was driving him down the field, which he would almost always do. He did win an MVP in 1987, so that's another reason why he, of course, makes this list. His career statistics are 51,475 passing yards with 300 passing touchdowns, 3,407 rushing yards, and 33 rushing touchdowns. So the guy just was absolutely dominant during the 80s and also during the 90s as well. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, Ronnie Lott, the safety of the San Francisco 49ers. He played with the Niners from 1981 to 1990. He would actually play a few more seasons in the NFL post San Francisco. He would also play for the Jets, and I can't remember who else he played for, but he played for a couple other teams. But we all know Ronnie Lott as a San Francisco 49er, and he was one of the most dominating defenders ever. He is a 4-time Super Bowl champion. He won all of them with the San Francisco 49ers. He won 16, 19, 23, and 24. And really, when you talk about just dominating defenders, one of the greats. Just one of the greats. Probably the greatest safety ever. His career numbers are 1,146 tackles, 63 interceptions, 16 forced fumbles, 17 fumble returns, and 5 touchdowns. He actually owns an NFL record in his rookie year. He had 3 interceptions for touchdowns. That's an NFL record still that stands to this day. That just goes to show you he was good from day fucking one and just dominated. Just dominated. You never wanted to throw anywhere near Ronnie Lott, and you never wanted to cross the middle near Ronnie Lott because you want to see somebody light a motherfucker up. His name is Ronnie Lott. He's also known for having his pinky amputated mid-season because he wanted to keep playing. It was either have season-ending surgery or amputate your pinky. The dude chose to amputate his pinky. That is what a badass motherfucker Ronnie Lott is. He was an 8-time first team All-Pro, 1981, 1983, and then 1986, all the way up through 91. He led the league twice in interceptions in 1986 and 1991, and just an all-around badass. And really, it was hard going back and forth between him and Michael Singletary on who was more dominating on defense in the 80s. But I had to give it to Ronnie Lott. There is one person I did put above them who we're going to be talking about next. But I mean, it was hard. It was hard to choose this, but Ronnie Lott and Mike Singletary were just badass motherfuckers on defense and just dominated the 80s. But number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, this is another guy who's probably going to make the 90s list, so just look out for it. And that is Reggie White. Defensive end of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. Spent the 80s, though, with the Philadelphia Eagles from 1985 to 1982. And then he, of course, would end his career with the Green Bay Packers. Beginning in 93, he would play with the Packers and like I said, end his career with them. He would actually win a Super Bowl with the Packers, but we're not talking about his career with the Packers because that's in the 90s. And like I said, don't be shocked if you hear the name Reggie White on the next list. But his career numbers are 198 career sacks, 33 forced fumbles, 3 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, really, one of the greatest defenders ever. Ever. He actually owns an NFL record of consecutive seasons leading the league in sacks. Twice he did that. And then he also has an NFL record of 10-plus sack seasons with 9 10-plus sack seasons. And then also he has an NFL record of who has the most 15-plus sack seasons. He has 5 15-plus sack seasons. So the dude just did nothing but terrorize quarterbacks his entire career. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 1987 and 1998. 8-time first-team All-Pro from 1986 through 1991, also in 95 and 98. When he led the league in sacks those 2 consecutive seasons, it was in 1987 and 1988. So really, I had to put him on here in the 80s because I was like, should I only put him on my 90s list? And I was like, well, no, man. Just the way he dominated the 80s was just as equally balanced as when he dominated in the 90s. I mean, Reggie White never fell off. It's hard to even describe if you didn't watch his career what a dominating force Reggie White was. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this list was so fucking hard for me because I'm like, how do I put Mike Singletary at 10 and Ronnie Lott at 8? Hell, John Elway at 9, Reggie White at 7. But see, with Elway, I feel like he dominated the 80s, but he was a winner in the 90s. So that's why it's like I wasn't feeling too bad to put Elway at 9 because he didn't win shit in this era. And, you know, there's a few motherfuckers ahead of him where I'm like, sorry, your Super Bowls and the way you dominated the 80s, I got to put you above Elway. But we'll see where both Elway and Reggie land in the 90s list, because I'm pretty sure I'm putting them on there because they dominated the 90s and 80s equally. And Reggie, like I said, Reggie White never fell off. The dude just knew how to sack the quarterback. He was just so hard to block. Even if he was triple teamed, you still couldn't stop the dude. He was just watch yourself some Reggie White highlights if you gotta. You will not be disappointed watching Reggie White highlights. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, Eric Dickerson, running back of the Los Angeles Rams from 1983 to 1987, and then running back for the Indianapolis Colts from 1987 to 1991. His career statistics: 13,259 rushing yards, 90 rushing touchdowns, 2,137 receiving yards, and 6 receiving touchdowns. He owns an NFL record for the most rushing yards in one season. He has 2,105 rushing yards in one season. His rookie season, he owns the NFL rookie record for most rushing yards with 1,808 yards in his rookie season, y'all. He almost ran for 2,000 yards in his rookie season. And then he also has the most yards in a playoff game with 248 rushing yards in a playoff game. So those are records that still stand to this day. I mean, Eric Dickerson, I love watching Eric Dickerson run. He just like glides. It is one of the most beautiful sights you will ever watch. And I kind of feel like we don't hear about Eric Dickerson as much because back in the day, he really started having some contract issues with the Los Angeles Rams, and I kind of feel like it was one of those things where the media was bashing him, the front office was bashing him, and then they're like, get the fuck out of here, we're going to send you into Indianapolis. And then he also had some contract issues with them, so I kind of feel like he has a negative point of view with some people, but with me, he does not, because I was not around in that time. And also, you know me, get your money while you are in the NFL, or really, if you are an athlete, get your money while you can, because these owners, these front offices, they give zero fucks about you, and they will get rid of you as soon as they can, and they will make up all the reasons as to why you shouldn't get paid. So to me, I will never ever have an issue with motherfuckers trying to get paid. Now, if you hold out and you have negative things that happen to you after you hold out, like you get injured or you just have an overall bad season, that is on you. But at the same time, you got to get your money, and that's one of the ways you do it, is by holding out. And so I kind of feel like Eric Dickerson doesn't get the same accolades as a lot of other running backs do. Because, I mean, when people talk about Barry Sanders, for example, the dude never won shit. He barely played in any playoff games. And yes, blah, 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 he played for the Detroit Lions. And they didn't put anything around him. But you talk about him like he's a legend, as you should. And nobody really talks about Eric Dickerson in the same light. And I feel like they should. Because he dominated the league. It's just, he felt he should get paid, and he should have got paid because he was dominating the league. Like I just said, he almost had 2,000 yards rushing in his rookie season. Nobody does that. But anyways, back to his stats. He was Offensive Player of the Year in 1986, Rookie of the Year in 1983, five-time first-team All-Pro in 83, 84, and then 86 through 88, four-time rushing leader in 83, 84, 86, and 88. So, I mean, all the dude did was run, and he was just so difficult to stop. He was one of the greatest running backs to ever do it. And Eric Dickerson just dominated the 80s like no other. If he had some championships, I feel like a lot more people would discuss him. But I feel like, to me, it doesn't matter. You talk about Barry Sanders. And like I keep saying, you should talk about Barry Sanders, even though he didn't win any Super Bowls or even have a chance at winning a Super Bowl. Eric Dickerson did play in, I know for sure, one Super Bowl. I think just one. He might have played in two. Regardless, I know he played in a Super Bowl and was on the losing end, but the dude just was so lightning and electric, and just watching him run, it was like that was all he was meant to do, was just fucking run that football, and he just dominated at it and was just one of the greatest players of the 1980s. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, Anthony Munoz, offensive tackle of the Cincinnati Bengals. He played from 1980 to 1992. And really, if you're putting together a list of just offensive linemen, it's really hard to argue against Anthony Munoz being at number one. Nobody was more consistent than this dude. He started 182 of the 185 games played. He was really an Iron Man. He really didn't miss a lot of games throughout his career. He was a nine-time first-team All-Pro from 81 to 83 and then 85 to 90. So that's the majority of his career. And he just was he was the pinnacle of consistency at the offensive line. And just really nobody dominated the offensive line like he did. And like I said, if you're putting together a list of just offensive linemen, it's hard to argue against him being at number one. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s, there was only one running back I could put over Eric Dickerson. And I really racked my brain with this one because I want to say the Super Bowl does help, but it was hard for me to put somebody, another running back, over Eric Dickerson, but I did it, and it was Marcus Allen. Running back of the Los Angeles Raiders from 1982 to 1992, and then he also played for the Kansas City Chiefs from 93 to 97. He won Super Bowl 18 with the Raiders and was also the MVP of that Super Bowl and has one of the most insane, memorable runs ever in Super Bowl history. Actually, just one of the greatest Super Bowl performances you will ever see. I can't remember exactly how many yards he had in that Super Bowl, but it was over 200 yards. So that's what kind of a dominating game he had. But I mean, to watch Marcus Allen, to me, really, it was hard. Like I said, hard to choose between him and Dickerson. Because Dickerson was just as electric as Marcus Allen. But to me, Marcus Allen had a few more memorable plays where you're like, whoa. And he just really dominated the 80s to me. And like I said, I feel like for me, him winning the Super Bowl and being a Super Bowl MVP is the only thing that put him above Eric Dickerson to me. Marcus Allen's career stats, 12,243 rushing yards, 123 touchdowns, 5,411 receiving yards, and 21 receiving touchdowns. He was the MVP in 1985, Offensive Player of the Year in 1985, Rookie of the Year in 1982, and just what, if you really want to see some good ass running, Marcus Allen is, it is insane to watch some of the plays this guy made in his career. So fun to watch. And when I was rewatching some of the highlights of him, I'm like, damn, Marcus Allen was that dude. I remember him as a Kansas City Chief because obviously he played for the Chiefs from 93 to 97. So that's really, I was like in third grade in 93. So that's when I really started to watch football, was kind of like in the 1990s. 90, 91, 92, that era, it's starting to, that's when I really started to pay attention and watch and get to know things. So Marcus Allen to me was a Kansas City Chief, but watching him as a Raider, whoa, that guy was just electric and just fantastic. And really, do yourself a favor and watch his performance in Super Bowl 18. That guy was, he literally runs into a wall of defenders and then just turns the fuck around, which you should never do, and then runs up the middle and makes a touchdown. It is one of the most amazing plays, and he actually has quite a few career plays like that. There's one Monday Night Football game where he just has this insane, I think it's a 99-yard touchdown, I believe. I could be wrong. I could be thinking of somebody else, but Marcus Allen was just, boom, fucking phenomenal. Absolutely dominated the 80s, and really difficult for me to rank him above Eric Dickerson, but this bitch did it. All right, we got down to the nitty-gritty right here, guys. Number 3 on my top 10 NFL goats of the 1980s. I almost put this guy at number 1, but like I said, there was only one player to me that dominated the 80s more so than these next two guys I'm going to discuss, and this is Lawrence Taylor, linebacker of the New York Giants. He played from 1981 to 1993, won two Super Bowls, won Super Bowl 21 and Super Bowl 25 with the Giants, and there is no more feared defender on this planet than Lawrence Taylor. His career numbers are 132.5 sacks, 11 fumble returns, 9 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns. One of the only defensive MVPs ever. He won the MVP in 1986. He won Defensive Player of the Year in 81, 82, and 86. He was Rookie of the Year in 1981. So he was one of those players where he was exceptionally consistent as well, especially in the 80s. I mean, 80s, he was the most feared defender you will ever see on the planet. He was an 8-time first team All-Pro from 1981 to 86, and then in 88 and 89. So that's how dominating he was in the 80s. Like, boom, you could not stop Lawrence Taylor. I mean, really, he's the only one I could put above Singletary, Lott, and Reggie White. And it was difficult to do that. But I mean, Lawrence Taylor is just absolute epitome of legendary linebacker. And just the way he dominated, the way he would scare dudes just lining up. So he would force false starts, and motherfuckers would be just shitting their pants just by looking at him because they knew he was going to serve them up some punishment. And really, just no defender really dominated the league more so than Lawrence Taylor in the 80s. And like I said, I almost put him at number 1, but it was really difficult to do that because, like I said, there's only one player who dominated the 80s more so than everybody. Now let's get to number 2 on my top 10 NFL goats of the 1980s. I also could have put this guy at number 1, but I did not. He's going to make the 90s list. I guarantee you that. So like I said, there are 3 guys on this list. Do not be shocked if you hear they are on the 90s list as well. Jerry Rice, wide receiver of the San Francisco 49ers. He played for the 49ers from 85 to 2000. He would ultimately go on and play for the Raiders for a couple of seasons and then the Seahawks. And just his career would kind of peter out towards the end there. But he is a 3-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl 23, 24, and 29. He was Super Bowl MVP of 23. And honestly, I didn't even have enough room on my paper really to write down everything that Jerry Rice has done in his career. But his career numbers are 22,895 receiving yards, 197 touchdowns, and then He owns the NFL record for most receptions with 1,549 receptions. He also has the NFL record for most receiving yards with 22,895. He also has the NFL record for most career playoff receiving yards with 2,245. He also has the NFL record for most 100-plus receiving yard games with 76 100 receiving yard games. He also has the NFL record for most 100-plus yard receiving yard games in the playoffs with 8. He also has the NFL record for most touchdowns with 197 touchdowns. He also has the NFL record for the most playoff receiving touchdowns with 22. He also has the NFL record for the most all-purpose yards with 23,546. He also has the NFL record for most all-purpose yards in the playoffs with 2,289 yards. And then last but not least, he also has the NFL record for most Super Bowl receptions with 33 receptions. Those are just the few NFL records that Jerry Rice owns. He also was a two-time Offensive Player of the Year in 1987 and 1993. And then he was a 10-time first-team All-Pro from 1986 to 1990, and then also from 1992 to 1996. Obviously, nobody dominated like Jerry Rice. Still to this day, I don't think there is a receiver that touches what Jerry Rice did. And watching Jerry Rice highlights, and I'm a Cowboys fan, y'all. I am a Cowboys fan, but guess what? I own a Jerry Rice jersey. I actually wore it on Super Bowl Sunday. I throw it out there every once in a while because I do have quite a few players who don't play for my favorite team's jerseys because I just respect the game. And Jerry Rice, I love Jerry Rice. I don't care. I don't care how much he would torch the Cowboys up. He was so fun to watch. He was just a beautiful receiver just to watch him. Just the routes he would run, the way he was just a fantastic receiver. And I am privileged to have watched this motherfucker light up the Cowboys on numerous occasions. But guess what? The Cowboys kicked his ass a couple of times as well. But Jerry Rice was a bad motherfucker. And I feel sorry for you motherfuckers who did not get to watch the career of Jerry Rice because he was fantastic. And it was hard for me to not put him at number one. Like I said, nobody dominated the 1980s more than number one on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s. Who do you think it is? I don't know. Could it be Joe Montana, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers? Yeah, it is. He played for the San Francisco 49ers from 1979 to 1992, and then he would have a brief stint with the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of his career. But I will repeat, nobody dominated the 1980s like Joe Montana did. It was the easy, when I thought of this list, I said, Joe Montana, number one. There wasn't even a question. There wasn't even a thought. Like I said, I debated on whether I was going to put LT there. I debated on Jerry Rice, but you know what? Nobody dominated in the 1980s like Joe Montana did. He is a four-time Super Bowl champion. By the way, Joe Montana was Tom Brady before fucking Tom Brady even hit the league. And Tom Brady will back that shit up because Joe Montana is Tom Brady's favorite quarterback of all time, favorite football player of all time. He grew up watching the Niners. So Tom Brady will back me up on that. Now, I put Tom Brady now above Joe Montana, but Tom Brady knows where he comes from. And Tom Brady probably wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for Joe Montana. But anyways, Joe Montana is a four-time Super Bowl champion. He won Super Bowl 16, 19, 23, 24. He was the MVP of 3 out of 4 of those. He was Super Bowl MVP of 16, 23, and 24. He also has some of the most epic comebacks in Super Bowl history. I mean, it's really difficult to describe the way Joe Montana dominated the 80s, but like, you knew you could not leave a minute's worth time on the clock and think he's not driving it down the field and driving his team in for a win. He just knew how to win. That is all Joe Montana did was win, win, motherfucking win. It's actually quite shocking that towards the end of his career with the 49ers, how often they would take him out. And they wanted Steve Young to start so bad. In between, because like I said, he won Super Bowl 16, 19, 23, and 24. So in between those, the first Super Bowl, Joe Montana would actually have a back surgery. And basically from that back surgery on, his coaches, Bill Walsh and, George Seifert, his two coaches he had as Niners career, during that time, after that back surgery, they did not trust him. They kind of felt like he had lost a step. And even though he would keep winning and keep driving and they'd keep going to the Super Bowl, they'd keep going to the playoffs, they still would try and replace him. And they would ultimately bring Steve Young in, and he would back him up for a few seasons, actually. And then eventually, there was even one of the Super Bowls that they won. I can't remember if it was 19. I might actually think it was 23. Steve Young actually played the majority of that regular season. So it was weird. Like I said, I'm rewatching all the Super Bowls right now. And so to rewatch some of those seasons where they're actually like sitting Joe Montana at certain points, and they kept wanting to push Steve Young in and push Steve Young in, and eventually they did. And that's why he would end up with the Kansas City Chiefs. But when he went to the Chiefs, he took them to the AFC Championship game. So that's all Joe Montana did was win. No matter what he did, you know, when he was with Notre Dame in college, that's all he did was win. He comes to the NFL, that's all he does is win. He dominates the 80s, and he still had hardships. That's why you can't, even though you're the best in the league, you can't ever sit pretty and act like it's all good, even though you're winning, like Joe Montana did, because he had Steve Young breathing over his fucking shoulder. And if he even broke his fucking pinky toe, he knew they were putting Steve Young in. So Joe Montana even had to battle for his career. So here are Joe Montana's career numbers. 40,551 passing yards, 273 passing touchdowns, two-time NFL MVP in 1989 and 1990. He owns an NFL record for the most playoff touchdowns with 11 playoff touchdowns. He was Offensive Player of the Year in 1989 and three-time first-time All-Team in 87, 89, and 90. And I cannot reiterate enough. No player dominated the 1980s more than Joe Montana. You couldn't even fathom a player being as touching even what Joe Montana did. And then Tom Brady, of course, not only reached what Joe Montana did, but went above it. And then we also have Patrick Mahomes now, who's kind of creeping up in that same echelon of, oh shit, he might be joining this this crew of Montana, this upper echelon of Montana and Brady. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mahomes progresses throughout his career. But to me, with Montana, like I said, he dominated. But they were doubting the shit out of him. And eventually, he would get traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game. And at that time, he was the greatest quarterback. And Niners fans, they were not happy with Steve Young being the starter, too. I mean, even Steve Young, he had to deal with a lot of bullshit leading up to him finally winning a Super Bowl in 29. So it's just really crazy to hear those stories. But at the same time, that's why Tom Brady's entire career, you would hear him at the podium say, you have to fight for your spot to be the starter every single day. And there's no truer thing than that, because you look at Montana. Steve Young breathing over his shoulder. Same thing I mentioned when I was talking about Roger Staubach. You wouldn't think they're going to sit Roger Staubach, but his entire career, Tom Landry doubted him and was always putting him in, putting him out. No, we're not going to play you. No, we need you to be a pocket passer. So that's just the way the league is. When you hear these guys talk about battling for their job every single day, they did. And even the greats did. Even my number one, Joe Montana, got traded his ass away from the Niners. But nobody, and I reiterate, nobody dominated the 80s more than Joe Montana. So my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1980s are number 10, Mike Singletary, number 9, John Elway, number 8, Ronnie Lott, number 7, Reggie White, number 6, Eric Dickerson, number 5, Anthony Munoz, number 4, Marcus Allen, number 3, Lawrence Taylor, number 2, Jerry Rice, and number 1, Joe Montana. That is my top 10 NFL GOATs of the NFL GOATs of each decade. So we're moving on to the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s. And this one, was, I mean, they've all been pretty difficult, but this one for me was probably the most difficult because the 90s is when I started to watch football. And so there are so many players. I was like, oh shit, I got to leave him out. Oh shit, I got to leave him out. I got to put him in. Like, it was really difficult. Now, number one and two were not difficult at all. I knew I was going to put them at number one and two because they were the two players that absolutely dominated the 90s. I will say that some of this list is going to piss off some of you Cowboys haters because I know you all like to act like the dynasty Cowboys of the 90s was some like Fugazi team when they're one of the most dominating dynasties ever. And you always like to make excuses up for all the players and act like, oh, yeah. Emmitt Smith had a great offensive line. He would have been nothing without it. Yeah, well, guess what? That's the case for everybody. So shut the fuck up and get over it. So let's get on to my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, beginning with number 10. And if you know me, you know this is my favorite player of all time in football, and there was no way I was leaving him off the list. Quite frankly, you're lucky I didn't put him at number one because, my heart wanted to put him at number one, but my head would not put him at number one. But I went ahead and put Troy Aikman at number 10 because A, he's my favorite player and this is my list and I can put him wherever I want. Also he was one of the most dominating quarterbacks of this era. All he did was win. And as a matter of fact, he won at every level that he ever played in his entire career at quarterback, from Pee Wee League to high school to college, all the way to the pros. But all y'all like to talk about how overrated he is because, you know, he had all these great talent surrounding him because no other football player in the history of sports has ever had that happen to him, right? Yep, no, only Troy Aikman. Well, he is number 10 on my list, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, played from 1989 to 2000. Won Super Bowl 27, 28, and 30. This is one of the reasons why he's on there, because when you actually dominate the Super Bowls, that is all that matters. He was actually the Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 27. His career passing yards, 32,942 yards with 165 touchdowns. Literally one of the most efficient quarterbacks of all time, and just dominated the league. Like I said, my favorite football player, and there was no way I was making this list and not including him somewhere on it. Like I said, y'all are lucky I put him all the way down at 10, because, like I said, heart would have put him at number one. Moving on to number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, John Randall, one of the most fun defenders to ever watch. He was absolutely insane. The defensive tackle of the Minnesota Vikings, well, that's who he mostly played for, from 1990 to 2000. His career stats are 556 total tackles, 137 and a half sacks, 29 forced fumbles, 11 fumble returns, or 11 fumble recoveries, one interception, and one touchdown. He is a six-time first-team All-Pro from 1993 to 1998, and he led the league in sacks in 1997 and just was an all-around badass motherfucker. He was hilarious. He would say the most insane shit to some people on the field, and he just was nuts. You would just see him on the sideline, and you could just see what an insane motherfucker he was, and I really enjoyed watching him. It was actually kind of hard to put him down at number 9 because he was so good, but there are a few other defenders who are ranked above him on this list, for me at least. So then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, Reggie White. Now this is the first repeat because he was on the 1980s list, and now he's on the 1990s list. Now he really mostly dominated the 80s. The majority of his dominance was definitely 80s. When he went to the Packers in the 90s, he played with the Packers from 93 to 98, and he actually won the Super Bowl with them in 31, but they weren't as dependent on him as the Eagles were. And, you know, he obviously was the guy on defense, but they actually had quite a few pieces on the defensive side of the ball that really were able to make big plays, just like Reggie White. So most of his dominance was in the 80s, but he still dominated the 90s, and I couldn't leave him off. Of course, his career sacks, 198, or his career stats, 198 sacks, 33 forced fumbles, 3 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns, and just one of the overall greatest defensive players you will ever have seen play. There are more stats, of course. I didn't rattle off all of the ones from the 80s just because I already went off on those stats. So go listen to that episode if you want to hear more Reggie White stats. But he was just one of the most dominating figures. And when he played for the Eagles in the 80s, he was fantastic. And then he went over to the Packers and did the same thing in dominating fashion. And he actually ended his career with the Carolina Panthers. So he did play for a couple other teams, but he was mostly known for his time with the Eagles and the Packers. And in the 90s, it was all about the Packers. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, I have Bruce Smith. It was hard to put Bruce Smith down this far, but I had to. And actually, you know, I was going between these three, Randall, White, and Bruce Smith. I just was going back and forth, back and forth. And then finally, I looked at Bruce Smith's stats and I was like, come on. Really, there was no more dominating defensive end than Bruce Smith in the 90s. And so I went with Bruce Smith above the last two. But it was really hard, too. When you pit them against each other, they were all badass motherfuckers. But Bruce Smith has the resume. He was the defensive end for the Buffalo Bills from 1985 to 1999. His career totals are 200 sacks, 2 safeties, 43 forced fumbles, 15 fumble recoveries, 2 interceptions, and 1 touchdown. And the 200 sacks is actually the NFL record. So, you know, that alone to me was like, okay, I got to put him above Randall and Reggie White. Just, you know, I wanted to put White in there just because he had the Super Bowl, but then I'm like, sorry, the 200 career sacks being the NFL leader, I'm sorry, that just puts you above everybody. He also was Defensive Player of the Year in 1990 and 1996, 9-time first-team All-Pro, 1987, 1988, 1990, then 1992 through 1997. A couple other records he also owns in the league. One player of having at least 1 sack a season. He did that for 19 seasons straight. And then 10-plus sacks a season, he did that for 13 seasons straight. And so those are both NFL records, along with his career 200 sacks is also an NFL record. And really, Bruce Smith was just the there were a lot of leaders on that Bills team, of course, because, you know, they had Jim Kelly. But I just kind of feel like their backbone, their heartbeat was Bruce Smith, and they went as that dude went. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, Barry Sanders, running back for the Detroit Lions. He played from 1989 to 1988. His career marks are 15,269 rushing yards, 99 rushing touchdowns, 2,921 receiving yards, and 10 receiving touchdowns. He was the MVP in 1997, 2-time Offensive Player of the Year in 1994, 1997. He was a Rookie of the Year in 1989, 6-time first-team All-Pro from 89 to 91, 94, 95, and 97. And he led the league in rushing 4 times in 1990, 94, 96, 97. Definitely one of the most dominating running backs of this time. Definitely exciting. I know a lot of people are going to be very upset because, yes, he is behind Emmitt Smith on this list. And you can get upset about it all you want. But guess what? Emmitt Smith showed up in the postseason. Barry Sanders did not. The end of that argument. You can suck a fat one. But Barry Sanders was still great. He was still exciting. And absolutely one of the most dominating players of the 1990s. So he had to go on this list. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, Deion Sanders. He was a cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons from 1989 to 1993. He was with the San Francisco 49ers in 1994. Then he played with the Cowboys from 95 to 1999. And then he played for a couple other teams as well, the Redskins and the Ravens, to end his career. But I mean, really, the thing about Deion Sanders is he is one of the most unique players football has ever seen. He was a 3-tool player where he played defense. Of course, that was his primary position, was cornerback. But he also would play wide receiver sometimes on offense. And then he was a special teams beast on punt returns and kick returns. So he not only was a fantastic cornerback, I mean, you really could not score on Deion Sanders. He was one of the definition of shutdown cornerback is Deion Sanders. But the fact that he could play offense and special teams, and once he went to the Cowboys, that's where the offensive side of things really took off for him. It wasn't really just he was thrown in every once in a while. I mean, he made some key plays in Super Bowl 30 on the offensive side of the ball. So some of Deion's career stats are 53 interceptions, 10 forced fumbles, 13 fumble recoveries, 10 defensive touchdowns. On punt returns, he's got 2,199 yards with 6 touchdowns. On kick returns, he's got 3,523 yards and 3 touchdowns. And on offense, he has a total of 10 touchdowns. So the guy didn't just play all three sides of the ball. He actually played them well, too. He was dominating on defense. He was actually dominating on special teams. He was one of the most electric players on special teams, really. Just watch him. And then offensively, he would make some big plays, and you could always count on Deion Sanders to show up. He was a Defensive Player of the Year in 1994. He's a 6-time first-team All-Pro from 92 to 94, and then from 96 to 98. And he was also so athletic that he played baseball as well. At the same time when he played in the NFL, he was actually the first athlete ever to play in an NFL game and an MLB game in one night. Now, unfortunately, the baseball game, they didn't play him. He just suited up. But basically, he played his football game, flew out to the baseball game, and showed up and actually was ready to play, but they just did not play him. And but, I mean, that's he played baseball while he played football. That is how talented and unique Deion Sanders is. That's why when I say, man, if you missed out on Deion Sanders, I just feel bad for you because you missed greatness. And another great thing about Deion Sanders, and it's one of my favorite Deion Sanders moments because it was when he was in a Cowboys uniform. It is called the Deion game. It is a Monday Night Football game against the New York Giants in which he would have an interception for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown. He would set up the Cowboys in good field position after making a huge play on offense at the wide receiver position. And he would also have a nice kick return as well. So it was literally a game in which he had a hand in just about every game-winning drive or every scoring drive in that game. And I mean, really, he was just something else. No matter who he played for, he was just something else. And he had one of the greatest careers ever, and I enjoyed it. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL goats of the 1990s, Steve Young, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. He played for the Niners from 1987 to 1999. He, of course, started his career with the Buccaneers and would end it with the 49ers. He actually would start out as Montana's backup, and then they would just go back and forth for a few years playing the rotating quarterback, and then they decided to go with Steve Young. And He is a 3-time Super Bowl champion, but 2 of those Super Bowls, he was the backup. So for 23 and 24, he was the backup. But for 29, not only did the Niners win that one, but he was the MVP and actually scored the most touchdowns. It was a Super Bowl record at the time, 6 touchdowns. I believe Tom Brady has tied it, of course. I mean, if it ain't Tom Brady, who the fuck else is it? But regardless, he did have 6 touchdowns, and it was really just one of his most dominating performances ever. But, I mean, just in the 90s, Steve Young really just dominated this league. And also, it's funny, too, because, you know, Niners fans, of course, loved Joe Montana, and so it took a while for them to warm up to Steve Young when he became the starter, but once he finally won Super Bowl 29, I think they were finally over it. His career yards, 33,124 passing yards, 232 passing touchdowns, 4,239 rushing yards, and 43 rushing touchdowns. That's one of the things about Steve Young is not only was he great with his arm, but he would make some huge plays running and would always put his body on the line. I mean, if you remember Steve Young, the dude would practically get a concussion every other game, it felt like. So, but that's just because that's the way he played. He was a 2-time MVP in 92 and 94, Offensive Player of the Year in 92, 3-time first team All-Pro 1992 through 1994, and he led the league in touchdowns 4 times in 1992, 1993, 94, and 1998. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s, Brett Favre, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers from 1992 to 2007. He would, of course, go on to play for the Jets and the Vikings to end his career, but we are talking about his domination in the 90s. And honestly, really, living through the 90s, and it really does pain me to say this, because growing up, I hated Brett Favre. I respect the shit out of Brett Favre, but I hate the Packers. I could never root for the Packers, and as a Cowboys fan, you just hated the Packers and Brett Favre. So I could not stand the dude, but to overlook his greatness at the time, I cannot do such a thing. Like I said, I respect the dude's career way too much, and he was, in my opinion, the quarterback of the 90s. Even though Steve Young, very dominating. Once I get to Brett Favre's career numbers, you will see his career numbers are actually even more stellar than Steve Young's, which is crazy. But also at the same time, Favre was a starter his entire career, whereas Young wasn't. And then Aikman didn't have nearly the blowout stats that Favre had. And he was more of just a winner, whereas Favre was the fun gunslinger that everybody just really liked at the time. But you really can't deny not only his greatness, but his popularity at the same time. Because if you don't know, I'm taking that into account in my GOATs list here is not just your popularity, but just you. If you were a face of the league, there was a reason why. And Brett Favre in the 90s was one of the many faces of the league. So his career stats. His career passing yards are 71,838 yards. Okay? I mean, right there. That's 71,000 passing yards in his career. As I said, Aikman's another quarterback on this list. He had 32,942, and Steve Young had 33,124. Brett Favre had 71,838 passing yards. So that right there, that stat alone puts him right up there. And then he had 508 touchdowns. So, come on, y'all. I had to put him up there. He also won Super Bowl 31, of course. He's a three-time MVP. And at the time, that he won it 3 years consecutively, and that was the first time that had ever happened in the league. He won 95, 96, and 97. Offensive Player of the Year in 1995. Three-time first-team All-Pro, 1995 through 97. Led the league in touchdowns four times from 95, 96, 97, and 2003. He also had a record 297 consecutive starts. So that's another thing. He was just known as the Iron Man. He would get the weirdest injuries, and he would still play. So, you know, even though I hated the dude, I still got to put him up there in those career stats. When I was going back, because I was flipping back and forth between him and Steve Young, just because they both really dominated. You know, they won MVPs, and they were pretty much the guys for quite some time there. But then once I looked at Favre's stats, I was like, sorry, Young. Sorry, dude. I gotta put stupid-ass Favre above you. And I did it. So had to do it because, you can't deny the greatness there. And that was one of the things about Favre, just a total Iron Man and just absolutely dominated the league in the 90s. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL goats of the 1990s, another guy who is a repeat on this list, and that would be Jerry Rice. Of course, I had him on my 1980s list, so I'm not going to go through all of his career stats since he has a million and a half stats, and I already rattled them off in the 1980s episode. So go back and listen to that if you want to hear me rattle off some more on Jerry Rice. But obviously, San Francisco, the wide receiver of the San Francisco 49ers, during the 90s from 1985 to 2000, and then, of course, he would end his career with going to Oakland and the Seahawks. And the practice squad, I believe, with Denver. But anyways, he's known as the Niners, of course. Three-time Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl 23, 24, 29, and was the MVP of 23. Offensive Player of the Year in 1987 and 1993. 10-time first-team All-Pro from 1986 to 1990. And then 1992 to 1996. My guess is that 1991 season where he wasn't a first-team All-Pro, I'm betting he was injured that season. His career stats are 22,895 receiving yards, which is an NFL record, and then 197 receiving touchdowns, which is also an NFL record. And really, Jerry Rice owns just about every receiving record you possibly could own. He's basically like Tom Brady, where it's like, oh, cool, look at that. Endless record. That's why I'm not going to read off all of his shit again, because I already did it on the last list. Now at number one on my top 10 NFL goats of the 1990s, Emmitt Smith, running back of the Dallas Cowboys. He was the Dallas Cowboys running back from 1990 to 2002. He would end his career with the Arizona Cardinals, but really nobody dominated the 1990s more than Emmitt Smith. First of all, I would like to say, because this has always been an argument, Barry Sanders is better than Emmitt Smith, and people like I said, they like to, you know, make up all the excuses of, oh, well, he had this great offensive line. Oh, he had this, he had that. Well, apparently y'all don't remember the 1993 season in which he held out for the first two games of the season, and the Cowboys would go 0-2 to start the season. And then when he re-signs his deal, all of a sudden they go on this magic little winning streak and go on to win the Super Bowl. By the way, he won the MVP that year. So y'all need to learn this thing called facts and open your eyes and get over your haterade, because Emmitt Smith was the most dominating player of the 1990s. He won 3 Super Bowls, 27, 28, and 30. He was the MVP of Super Bowl 28. His career stats are rushing yards, 18,355 rushing yards, P.S., all-time leading rusher. That is the NFL record that I'm going to put on record right now. Nobody's breaking that record, at least at this rate. With the way they treat running backs in this league, I don't really see a running back able to have that kind of career where he dominates for that many years to even come close to 18,355 yards. So I'm betting Emmitt, if it gets broken, it's going to be a long-ass time before it gets broken. His career touchdowns, 164 career touchdowns, 3,224 receiving yards, and 11 receiving touchdowns. He's the MVP of 1993, Rookie of the Year of 1990, four-time first-team All-Pro from 92 to 95, four-time rushing leader, 91, 92, 93, and 95, three-time touchdown leader, 92, 94, and 95, and then some of the records he owns, like I said, rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. Both of those are NFL records. And then also rushing attempts. He's got 4,409 rushing attempts, and that is also an NFL record. So y'all can hate all you want, but Emmitt Smith was the most dominating player in the 90s. He made the biggest impact on the dynasty of that era. And sorry, you turn on film from the 90s, all you see is Emmitt Smith running. He was dynamic. He was amazing. And you could talk about the offensive line, which was great. Don't get me wrong. That was a fantastic offensive line. But there were many games where Emmitt would get past that hole and you can't stop him. There were also games where he played with a dislocated shoulder. And like I said, the 93 season where he held out the first two games, that should tell you all what kind of an impact Emmitt Smith made on that team. Now, every player made an impact on that team, as they do with everyone, but Emmitt Smith was the face of the 90s, and he is my top 10 NFL GOAT of the 1990s. So my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 1990s is 10, Troy Aikman, 9, John Randall, 8, Reggie White, 7, Bruce Smith, 6, Barry Sanders, 5, Deion Sanders, 4, Steve Young, 3, Brett Favre, 2, Jerry Rice, and number 1, Emmitt Smith.